our text and glean some real wisdom from David, a man after God's own heart, as we begin in verse 12, and I'm reading from the New American Standard. So teach us, verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. Do return, O Lord, how long will it be, and be sorry for thy servants. O satisfy us in the morning. Everybody say morning. With thy loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. What you do when you're young affects you all your days. Look at the next verse, 15. Make us glad according to the days thou hast afflicted us, and the years we have seen evil. Go back to that first verse, and I want you to see it with me, because that's what I'm going to preach on. So teach us to number our days. Teach me to number my days. What a powerful verse, and that I pray that you never forget what I'm about to share with you these next two Sundays, because out of the Word of God, many of you blessed saints are familiar with this verse if you've grown up and have heard it preached in your early years, if you've grown up in church, from the hardened pews and from the towering mahogany pulpits. Preachers have bellowed out this verse from Scripture, teach us to number our days. And I think it's such an insight on having a purpose attached to your life in order to teaching us to number our days. Because it's interesting that when God created the earth and everything in it, He told Adam to name all of the animals, and He gave him the responsibility to do it. And then when men, the patriarchs, and others in the Bible were in certain places, they named the places, and then they named the wells in which they drew the water. They named the mountains, such as Mount Mizpah, Mount Olive, and all of these names they named with a purpose. They named their children, the names they named with, they would have prophetic utterance, or they would name their children after certain events that were taking place at that time. And then you come to the days. God never said, name the days. He said, number the days. Don't name it, number it. Why? Because when He created the first day, the Bible said on the first chapter of Genesis, verse 5, the evening and the morning were the first day. Notice He didn't say it was on a Monday. He put a number on it and He numbered it. And the next verse says, the evening and the morning were the second day. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And what God was trying to get in our mind was that it's important to number the days. Don't just name them Tuesday or Wednesday. And it's interesting that you never hear God say, well, you know, it was on a Sunday He came out of that tomb, or it was on a Saturday. But it's the third day. It's always numbered. For instance, after 40 days, Jesus came out of the wilderness. It doesn't tell us if it was on a Monday or a Tuesday, because it didn't matter the name of the day. It was the number of the day that was significant. And so you just keep seeing this thing throughout the Scriptures where God says to number the days. You see in Scripture in the book of Numbers, chapter 9, the day of the Passover feast, God said that on the first month of the 14th day to celebrate Passover. And again in Scripture in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, we find that 50 days from Passover is the feast of Pentecost. He doesn't say the name of the day. Again, it's the number of the day. You see it over and over. When Noah goes on the ark, it rained for 40 days. He had to learn to number his days. He had to stay busy on that ark during that time because he was on there a lot longer than just 40 days. It took quite a while for that water to go down. Imagine getting cabin fever with a boatload of animals that have never, ever been caged up before, along with all the smells that go along on that boat with all of those animals. And I believe what God is trying to say is that if we'll number our days, it'll remind us that trouble doesn't last. Trouble doesn't last always. Trouble doesn't last forever. And so you've got to know where you are in that number when possible. If you're going through something, know that every trial and every hard time and every tough season that a believer goes through, it had a beginning day, day one, and it has an expiration day on it. Every trial that you go through has an expiration date marked on it. Troubles won't last always. I promise you that. Wait, never mind me. Scripture promises you that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 17, it says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." So Noah said, "Teach me to number my days. Teach me, O God, that this rain won't last always." Because remember, before the flood, the earth was watered by a tropical type of mist, and Noah, as well as others, had never, ever seen rain before. Sometimes, in a child of God's life, God may bring something that may cause them an uncomforting circumstance. Something they've never seen or encountered before. Not as punishment, but rather to bring about a greater purpose that he's accomplishing. So the Bible said that on the 40th day that it stopped raining and the storm ceased for Noah. And there's a day in your life that's already marked. And here's how you get established, and here's how you make it through. You look at your life, and if you're going through something, you say, "It didn't start today," which means I'm closer to my expiration in this problem than I've ever been. God won't put more on you, and He won't put more on me than I'm able to bear. So teach me, Lord, to number my days so that I'll understand that every trial has a length to it and it has a deadline to it. It has an expiration date marked on it. It has a period at the end on it, and nothing is going to last forever. And that's why I found the story in Daniel so interesting, this message. And if you'd like to turn there with me today, you can. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. And so, in Daniel chapter 10, when Daniel went on a 21-day fast, in Daniel chapter 10, the Bible said, then an angel came to him on the 24th day of the first month. Notice again, it's a number. Did you know that there's a number attached to your breakthrough? Also, while you're turning there, did you know that Gideon wouldn't get his breakthrough over the enemies that were coming against Israel till he got to a certain number of 300 men? As long as he had 10,000 men, God said, "You haven't reached your right number yet." But there's a number attached to your breakthrough. And so here Daniel is. He's fasting for 21 days, 3 full weeks. Listen to the words in verse 12. "I set my heart to seek the Lord." You know, it's a little different when you're casually praying, when you really decide to set your heart to do something, or set your mind to do something, or set your spirit to do something. There wasn't none of this, "Oh, yes, Lord, I'll pray about it and then forget to." He said in verse 12, "I started praying on day one." And in verse 13, it says an angel broke through on the 21st day and said, "Daniel, God heard your prayer on the first day, but there was a spiritual conflict in the heavenlies. Demon powers were fighting, trying to hold your prayers from a breakthrough, but I'm so glad that you kept on praying. Thank God for prayer warriors. Thank God for intercessors here at Prayer of Faith, people that don't quit on you after just one prayer. Because on the first day, God heard your prayer. God heard your prayer and sent angels to bring about your answer, but the enemy Satan withstood your prayers in the heavenly realm. But because you kept on praying, because you kept numbering your days, saying, 'I'm not at 21 yet, I got to keep on praying, I got to keep after it, because I know there's a breakthrough coming.'" And that number in Daniel's spirit was 21 days. And by the time he got to 21, an angel broke through and said, "Here's your answer to prayer." What an insight to warfare that's going on in the heavenly realm that we do not see with our physical eyes. Sometimes we need to understand how things work without us seeing it, and how God works in our lives in order for us to get a good education. You know, speaking about a real education, according to a news report, a certain private school in Victoria, Texas, was faced with a unique problem. A number of 12-year-old girls were beginning to use lipstick, and they were putting it on in the bathroom, and that was fine, but after they used this lipstick, they'd press their lips against the mirror, and leaving dozens of little lip prints on the mirror. And every night, the maintenance man, he would come in and remove them, and the next day, the lip prints would be right back on that little mirror. And finally, the principal decided that something had to be done. So she called the girls into the bathroom and met them there with the maintenance man. And she explained that these little lip prints were causing a major problem for the custodian, who had to clean the mirrors every night. And so, to demonstrate how difficult it was to clean these mirrors, she asked the maintenance man to show the girls how much effort was required to clean these mirrors. So the maintenance man, he casually just took out a long-handled squeegee. He dipped it in the toilet, and then he cleaned the mirror with it. Since then, there have been no lip prints on the mirror. You know, there are teachers, and then there are educators. And we need to realize that Scripture educates us on how things work on which we cannot see. We have to learn to number our days, because our problem won't last always. Keep praying, keep doing good, and don't get weary. Your day will come. There's a number attached to your breakthrough. For 21 days, he set himself. And sometimes we just have to set ourselves. Keep praying. Keep praying. Set ourselves and keep seeking God. Never give up. Never give in. That's called faith, because there's warfare between your prayer and your answer. And in verse 19, notice what the man in the vision says to Daniel. "You are loved. Stand up. Fear not." Those words were echoed in the New Testament by a similar man who manifested himself in human form physically. His name was Jesus. And he told many people the same message. "Peace be with you. Take courage. Stand up. Fear not. Fear not, because God the Father hears your prayer. And he has your answer." And in this case with Daniel, it was 21 days. And when we see this, we see the Scripture giving us great insight about life, and we can better understand when Daniel said, "Teach me to number my days," meaning that the longer that you live, the more you realize that you don't have time to waste. Because I'm not as young as I used to be, and I don't have as many days as I have. I'm half a century years old. I understand now why the early saints and priests and kings and had scribes with them all the time. Because whenever they heard the whispers of God in their spirit, they needed them to write it down, or else they'd forget it. Because when I prepare my messages and God whispers spirit messages in my heart and my word and words to say, if I don't record them or jot them down, it's gone. And I think to myself, "Well, oh, that God, that's a good one, and I'm going to remember that one." And no longer I get to a place where I can pick up my message again. I've forgot that nugget of wisdom that he shared with me. So that's what happens when you get a little older. And so I'm not ready to sit down in my rocking chair yet, but my runway isn't as long as it used to be. And you young people out there better not be laughing at this half a century old man up here just because you're young, because science tells me that you've got dead skin flakes falling off you as you're sitting there listening to me preaching. So you don't have as many days left on you either. So we all have to number our days wisely. Because as you begin to number your days, you begin to get wise in what you do. and you begin to see things a little differently. We don't have as many years left on our calendar, and the months keep going by. There's no pause button that you can stop and do your thing. You ever have anybody in your life that wants to pause life and do their thing while you've got to carry on with life and all the responsibilities that go along with it? That's why I say, teach me, Lord. I want to do everything in my life and my heart wisely, so teach me to number my days. Think with me, if you could, just impart to young people the wisdom that you know now while they are young, right now, how to spot friends in their life that are not good for their life. How that would save them a number of days of heartache and misery and stress. Stand up. Fear not. Peace be with you in sharing your testimony with Ground Zero over there at our youth center. They would love to hear your story, a life story about how you met the Savior. Your story is important to teens. Think with me, if you can just impart to married couples the wisdom of areas that would be of your marriage that would be build good strongholds in your life, or even areas that would possibly save them a number of days of heartache and stress and possibly divorce. Stand up. Fear not. Peace be with you as you become involved in our interactive Bible studies on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights. It's a great place to learn about other couples. Very comical at times, I might add, and some of the things they encounter. You know, it's important how to make the most of your day by simply asking God to lead you to someone who needs to hear your story of what God has done in your life. Someone who needs to hear something nice, perhaps, come from just you. And to stay focused on what God wants just you to do, rather than what others demand from you, or what others think that you should do. Teach us, God, on how to number our days, and how to teach us what season we're in our life to do things right. God is working on your answer and trying to get an answer for you through the heavenlies, through the Holy Spirit in your life. You see, the great Comforter, the Holy Spirit, was sent to give us access to the Father, for us to be able to boldly approach the throne of grace as children of God through Christ. But here's the reality. Just as the angel was fighting in the heavenly realm to get through to Daniel, the devil will now fight you to keep you from getting access to the throne of grace. They don't call him the accuser for nothing. He will keep you busy and confused until your days start to run together, until you're caught up in your problems, until you feel the walls closing in, until you feel like you're drowning, you feel the shortness of your breath. Do you understand now why the Scriptures say he is the author of confusion? He's trying to keep you from the Father. It's spiritual warfare, my brothers and sisters, and it's no longer in the heavenly realm. It's right here on earth. You know, we as pastors don't have an answer for everybody in the church family, just as you don't have an answer for everybody in your family to solve all of their problems. We like to try at times. We like to think we can. But the fact is, we don't. I don't have a key for everybody, nor do I want to. Nor do I think people want a key for everything. Some people like to keep doors closed until they're ready to open them. You know, it's Jesus that said, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me." It's Jesus that has the key, and he knows when you're ready. Because what I found from others is that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People will not listen to your wisdom until they see for themselves that you're willing to invest in them. To walk along with them in their path, to listen and to talk, and maybe even cry with them. Instead of saying, here's a word for you, a pat on the back, and hope you get better. Because there are some people that I'm assigned to, and some people that you're assigned to. And the older that I get, the more I pray, put me in the right place at the right time with the right people, so that I can have the maximum impact in people's lives with what God wishes to do through me. Some people just want you to listen without prejudice. Just listen without being fixed. That's why I have to remember to pray, teach me to number my days. Don't let me waste my life. Don't let me waste my time. Don't let me waste my anointing on just myself, consumed with myself or with my desires. Don't let me waste my days on people or things that are not open to what you put inside of me. Who are the people that need you? You know, many times we become so consumed on the way that we think is the right way, we miss the signs that are around us. And we can become so consumed in the daily events in our lives and the problems that get us sidetracked that people in our lives, like poor Chippy, leave us staring aimlessly and take the song out of our lives. Teach me, Lord, to number my days, because if I take a wrong turn now, I don't have 40 years to fix it. I don't have 40 years to go around this mountain again to get it right. So what are you doing with the opportunities that God has given you? You better number your days and understand that opportunity is here for just a little while and then it's gone. With your husband, your wife, your children, you may never have an opportunity now again, like this again in your life. You know, John Maxwell tells the story of a man who learned the true value of time. One day he sat around with a calculator and he got to thinking, assuming that his lifespan was 75 years of age, that the average lifespan was 75 years old he lived to be. And that means there's 52 weeks in a year. 75 times 52 is 3,900. Meaning that if you live to be 75, that means you get 3,900 Saturdays and then it's over. 3,900 weeks. If you live to be 75 and then your life's over. That doesn't sound like a lot when you think about it. If all of you're going to get out of life, if you're lucky, is 3,900 weeks. And then it dawned on this man that while he was sitting there that he was 55 years old. That he'd already used up most of his 3,900 Saturdays. He'd used up 2,800 of his lifetime allotment of Saturdays that were already gone. So only 1,100 Saturdays were left in his life. So he bought a glass container, a vase, similar like this, and he put 1,100 marbles in it in his family room. And every Saturday, he'd walk over and he would take one of those marbles out and he would throw it away. Just like that. Because it was a visual reminder of the fact that as it would go down, it diminishes. He was taking marbles out each week and it would signify one less week that he has left to live. One less Saturday that he has with his family as it got down. And as it would go down, it would remind him, I need to be numbering my days. One less Saturday. What a visual reminder of the brevity of life. We need to grasp the understanding of the importance of being alive in Christ. Because there's a difference between being old and being decrepit. You see, we're all fragile human beings, either tender at heart, tender in soul, or tender physically. And just as it may be hard for an egg to turn into a bird, it'd be even harder for that egg to learn to fly while remaining an egg. And we're all eggs at the present, ever so fragile, but you can't go on indefinitely being an egg. You've got to either hatch or go bad. And some of you need to hatch out of that shell and find the joy in serving others. And others of you need to learn to live fresh like a fresh spring chicken because you've been serving too long. And some of you need to be brave enough to fly like an eagle and take on some leadership because young people need mentors to see what a person in Christ is like to live. If you've still got some marbles in your jar, enjoy them and don't sit there and watch them dwindle. Teach us to number our days, and as the days go by, you can look back at your years and enjoy them and see the fruitfulness of them. Be glad about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says that the outer man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day by day by day. Don't let your physical body determine the strength of your inner spirit. Troubles won't last always. Number your days and give God the praise. You know, she was in her 80s and cancer took a major part of her nose to where she made a wheezing sound with each part of her breath. But what an amazing lady. Hazel Tatum, when she'd outlived practically every family member she had, including her son, while she'd even caught her husband in her arms as he fell down dead in the yard after a heart attack had seized him. Given these and a multitude of other tragedies, one would think she'd have reason enough to be bitter at life. But yet she was perhaps the most kindest, most humblest lady anyone could ever meet. She'd sit alone in her trailer park and crochet baby blankets for the local hospital's NICU, neonatal intensive care unit for babies. Number your days. Don't just waste them. 1 month ago, I lost one of my oldest members of my Choctaw Kiwanis Club. Kiwanis Club is we're a community organization dedicated to serve the community for the betterment of children. His name was Al Crumley. He was 89 years old, and he had been a member of my Choctaw Kiwanis Club since 1995. That's 18 years as a community servant, serving cookies during Christmas time to the community as they would come in, serving turkey at the Senior Citizen Center during Thanksgiving and our Christmas dinners, serving pancakes at our annual pancake breakfast to the community as they'd come in. He was working at our pancake breakfast the final week of his life. 3 days later, he passed away. Now that's how I want to get old. Serving up to the final days. Being part of something. You see, the fabric of our lives contains heaven's signature of both God's design and power to live our lives fully as we go about living our lives each day. It means more than just believing God works through us. It also means we must confidently walk in the distinctive virtues that we possess. That's why we've got to be confident in ourselves and that we are God's workmanship, created to do good works and to number our days to do so. Make something count from your life because life's just too precious to exist. Don't pass up opportunities. God's working on you to shine like you've never shined before. Don't give up because you can't see what's happening in the heavenly realm. I know many of you are going through a crisis of some type, or battling sickness, or have experienced the loss of a loved one, or perhaps even faced death itself. God's working on you to get an answer, your promise, your message of hope, for you to hold on to increase your faith. And what is faith? What is faith? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. So that you can number your days and make the most of them until your time of promise has arrived to shine the light of Christ. Remember that trouble won't last always. Number your days and give God praise so that when all is said and done, you're making the story of your life that counts in the lives of other people with the love of Christ. So what's the takeaway today? Know that God is working behind the scenes in your life, just as He did in Daniel's, to get your promise, to get your word of faith, to get your answer through. But there are things that the eye cannot see, so you must set your heart, stand strong and fear not, and realize that He loves you and have rest on that the peace that He gives you. Number your days wisely, until that time comes to make them count, to make the most of every opportunity to be ready for Him to call upon you through obedience. Because your answer to prayer may lie within His calling and ministering to someone along your path. Do you have that peace in your heart while you're waiting? Are you able to stand strong? Do you have that foundation planted while you wait on your feet to withstand the storms that come against you? Jesus, my Master and my Savior, stands before you today and freely gives to you the love and the peace that you seek. Do you need to find Him this morning by inviting Him into your life? If you'd like to do that, the Bible simply states that if you confess the Lord Jesus and repent of your sins, you shall be saved. It's as simple as ABC. Ask Jesus into your heart. Believe that He died for your sins, rose on the third day, and confess that you've sinned and ask God to forgive you and cleanse you and make you whole. To come to know Christ and experience this, they are here for you today. They'll be here at the front. We have the altar steps here on the side. If you just like to kneel in faith and stand down there on the front, and we'll be happy to pray and speak with you whatever it takes. Or if you just like to spend some time with God there on them. It's totally up to you. Stand with me this morning and join with me as we sing. As we sing, Come Forward. Thank you all for joining me this morning. I pray that you have a blessed week. Join me again next Sunday as I'll conclude this little two-Sunday Teach Me to Number My Days. Next week I'll share a personal story, lesson that I've learned, as well as share you some things that I've seen in the hospital about people that I've encountered teaching me to number my days. It'll be a little bit more intense, I warn you, so be prepared. So join me next week. Hope you have a blessed week. God bless you all. Father, we thank you so much for what you brought with us today, teaching us to number our days. Father, please bring people across our path this week through which we can share our story. Anoint us all in your name. Amen. God bless you all.